Road.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence, see fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud, sounds better with us.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Fess Up, with thanks to Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
So this week we have Dr. Dearne O'Leary coming on later on to talk to us.
Actually, can't wait to chat to her.
I know. Like, we just can't get over
how she looks.
She looks
amazing.
Look, she looks so glam and like glossy. She looks.
She
like
has two kids under two.
I know.
I look like I've been dragged through her head backwards.
Yeah, most of the time you
and
do.
And she,
yeah.
thanks. And I mean,
she looks like she's going on to the Miss Universe stage at any given point.
I think she's like a real live Barbie doll.
And she's a doctor.
And a lecturer.
And a lecturer. And
and a supplement formulator.
Yeah, so she's an entrepreneur.
And what else does she do?
Yeah, like she's GP.
I know. Oh, she's GP as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
underachiever. Like, it's unbelievable.
I know, it's not real age.
We were supposed to do a formal introduction, but I think
that's our formal introduction. Sorry. So that's
and she's an influencer. I mean,
and
which
is also
actually,
a full-time job. The full-time job of all the full-time
health
jobs.
Influencer. You know,
yeah, so. And also she's a specialist in women's health and like a family practice. What's it called?
And she had cancer along the way as well over the last year.
Survivor, cancer mentor.
Yeah. So listen, this one.
And she looks. Fucking amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you're like, how? Just
I know.
How? It's one of those.
I'm hoping.
We're going to find out, hopefully, in the next one. Anyway, on to this week. I want to talk about a conversation I had, ironically, with our dad. Right, he spurred this on to me. Okay, so actually, you sent him on this goose chase. Dad doesn't listen to this, about his hemorrhoids, right?
Oh, God. Yeah.
So you sent him off to some clinic in Bagot Street to get his hemorrhoids zapped with, what was it, some current or something to shrink them?
Yeah.
Okay, so it all makes sense, right? And he went in, he had it done once, it didn't work. He went back again, he's had to have it done twice, right? And so he was furious. He's just so angry.
Okay. So annoyed.
So angry.
Also, he expected it to be like, go in, flip a switch, and they're gone. Things that, so these are hemorrhoids that he's had for 10 years. Thank God he doesn't listen to these.
Anyway, but the point is, he goes to me, they told me it was non-invasive. He was like, that was the most invasive fucking thing I've ever had in my life. And I was like, yeah, Dad, I know what you mean. He was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, like, I get all sorts of crap done to me. Like, and he was like, but you haven't had someone fiddling around in your arse. And I was like,
you're like, hello, I've had two babies.
I was like, I've had two babies come out of my arse, not actually your arse, right? So this conversation went on. I was like, first of all, I've had things sucked out of me with, I've had like fat sucked out of me.
We don't need to talk about your sex life, Liz. That's gross. Leave it.
You've had fat. I've had fat sucked out of me. I've had things put into me. I've been frozen. I've been whatever. All under the heading of non-invasive treatments, right? And his point was, that didn't feel non-invasive. And actually, I do think the aesthetics market, okay, and the aesthetics world, they market a lot of these treatments as non-invasive, right? And
so you want to discuss what is non-invasive and what is invasive?
Technically, non-invasive means you're not getting an
anesthetic.
No, it's not non-anesthetic. It's cutting. So to be invasive, you need to cut, right? However, like some of the treatments I've had and you have had are freaking invasive and you leave traumatized, you know?
Yeah, but like
physically,
I mean,
and mentally,
like,
you're like,
I mean,
what the hell?
A smear is non-invasive, but like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Have you ever had a smear in a, like, one of these teacher training hospitals where there's 10 students looking up your yin yang?
No.
It's very fucking invasive, let me tell you.
Or I remember getting those, you know, those cells done at the top of your cervix. Oh my God, what are they called?
Yeah, the Letts procedure.
The Letts procedure is done, and that was very invasive as well.
Yeah. All those things.
But in aesthetics, like some of the microneedling radio frequency ones I've had, they are super freaking sore.
Yeah.
And I know like the peels and stuff like that mightn't seem like that, but some of those extreme phenol peels.
Actually, some of those microneedling things have been absolutely mega hardcore.
Yeah. And like the tickle lipos, all that kind of stuff, even though
they're... Well, tickle, I think, is invasive, isn't it?
Oh, it is, actually, because you actually have to cut something a little
inside you.
Stick in a thing. I'm trying to think what else I've had that's non-invasive. Oh, vaginal tightening, even though, again, it's not invasive. It's still something in your body doing the rounds, do you know?
Well, like, I mean, there's been a few things in your body doing the rounds.
Anyway, the point of the conversation is people go into these treatments thinking, it's non-invasive and I'm not having a general anesthetic, so therefore it'll be fine. Whereas a lot of time they're not fine and they can be quite aggressive and quite extreme.
And the downtime.
And you can react very strongly to them. Like
even things like CO2 laser, like my God, the downtime from that is wild.
Yeah, and the pain. Like I've gone, like, I always remember Cool Sculpting, like honestly up there with having a baby in terms of pain.
Horrific. Yeah.
Like absolutely going, what was I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? This is absolutely barbaric. So, I mean, again, some treatments are fine. You need to, like, they are absolutely grand, you know, whereas some of the ones are, do not go in thinking this is going to be a pain-free walk in the park.
I think the key is to ask questions.
Yeah, but they all lie. They go, oh, it's just a little twinge. It'll feel like an elastic band.
I think things also depend on your perspective on things as well.
Also, literally things like time of the month, though, can have a big effect.
Yeah.
And if you're tired, if you're emotional, if you're feeling anxious, you know, but obviously you can't schedule a treatment around your, you know, hormones and your moods.
I sent my pal to get Morpheus 8 there recently.
Yeah.
And I told her it was a non-invasive treatment. And I was like, it's a bit sore. Like, but I mean, you'd be well numbed up and everything. She came back and she was like, non-invasive. You're having a fucking laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
She was like, that was outrageous. She was like, and I was like, yeah, but you look good for it now, don't you? And she's like, I do. I wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Well, this is it. I suppose sometimes you might be better off going in, like, ignorance is bliss. Anyway, if you are concerned about a treatment, drop us a WhatsApp or
we'll tell
you the real truth. And we should have some kind of pain-o-meter.
Yeah.
You know, however, I'm not sure your pain threshold and my pain threshold are reflective of the general population.
No.
Because the more stuff you've had done, the more, you know, used to it you become. And the more tolerant you become. Yeah. The good thing about most aesthetic treatments is they're quick and fast. So by the time you realise you're in like extreme pain, they've moved on to the next
section. Or they've done half your face and you're kind of fucked and you have to do the other half.
Yeah, you have to keep going. Yeah, I know. So Rate Bowl, this week on our Rate Bowl, Ed, Rate Bowl is a section where we have a little 8-ball filled with treatments and we talk about generally whatever comes out of the Rate Bowl.
I thought you were calling me the little 8-ball.
You're the little 8-ball. You are our
Here it is. Rattle, rattle. What have we got? Now, how do I pronounce this? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure you will. Blepharoplasty.
Blepharoplasty. AKA a bleph. AKA eye lift, upper or lower. AKA absolutely on my to-do list in the next, ideally, I'd do it in the next few weeks. But you kind of need to schedule
it. So let's explain what it is first.
Okay, go on.
So it is...
Do we rate it, first of all?
Oh, yes.
Like 100%.
It is like a 10 out of 10 successful treatment.
In the right hands, obviously.
In the right hands, on the right patient.
Yeah.
Caveat, 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 lawyer.
Yeah.
So it is, with regards to the upper lids, it's where you get these hooded bits of skin.
Yes.
And you basically cut a slither out and they stitch it.
So
they
the cut, surgeon cuts
the, yeah, they cut the hood. Overhang.
They cut the excess eyelid off and they generally do it in the fold. So
if it's done well, it's absolutely amazing.
And they use a slip stitch basically along the fold of your eye.
Yes.
And it's very like...
It's brilliant.
It's kind of untraceable almost in most cases after a couple of weeks.
Yes. Amazing. And then lower blepharoplasty is a little bit more complicated. There's a couple of different techniques, but generally speaking, it is where they actually... They slice you open just under the
lash line.
The lash line.
Yeah.
So again, untraceable from in terms of scar. And then they take whatever bags or hooded skin and they lift it up and then they restitch you up at the lash line. So there is no trace of, but it's really the only successful way, in my view, to get rid of those
fat pockets.
Well, it is definitely the only way to get rid of the fat pockets.
Yeah.
And it's the only successful way to get rid of those really deep eye bags.
Well, I mean, there is lasers and stuff, but if you want
Really get rid of them, lasers will do maybe, you know, 60% or 70%.
In a very good case.
In a very good
case. I'm saying most of the 20 to 40 average.
Yeah, but I would love it. Also, I mean, genetically,
some
people are predisposed towards hoodedness. So you and I are
hooded
genetically. Like my poor dad has offered a free blepharoplasty on the HSE because it's impairing his vision.
You can actually see at this point, but anyway.
It's so bad in one of his eyes. Like I could literally
put a matchstick in.
Yeah. It's so bad.
But back to the blephs. Right. So yes, 100%.
So I rate it absolutely amazing. Brilliant.
Obviously there's always a however. Back to the bulging under the eyes. A lot of people have their fat actually bulges out through the cavities or the orbital socket effectively. So no cream or laser or microneedling or anything in the world is going to get rid of that fat bulge, right? And you
and also that pit, if you have that, if you've got loads of like saggy skin under the eye, folds of saggy skin under the eye.
Yeah.
Like I said, a laser will improve it and improve the texture and the tone. But if it's a large amount, you can throw all the cash at all the shit that you like. It is not going to do it.
Whereas blepharoplasty, 99% of the time,
it's not expensive either. Like, I mean, I mean on the scale of things,
about $5,000 for an upper blef.
I don't know what the price of a lower is. Do you?
Well, a lot of people do the double. If you're going in for the lower, you do the double, and you'd be in around $8,000. Now, this is in Ireland, right? I know a lot of people go abroad for them as well, and not. We're not saying to anyone to hop on a plane to Turkey to do this. Please don't. It generally doesn't work out well. But I know a lot of people go into other EU countries, right? Mm. You're covered under the
EU transfer directive or whatever it's called.
Yes. So if you are thinking about going abroad,
maybe it's like Lithuania or something.
Exactly, because you are covered.
A woman who's we won't say now,
a friend
got
of mine went to Lithuania and she got both done, upper and lower, for $3,000. Mm. And a lot of people go to Switzerland, a lot of France, they do them like literally. Mm. The rate we would do blefs over here, they do Botox, because they are very horrific.
I have to say, if I was going to get a blef, though, I would personally would like to go to somebody who is an ocular surgeon
as well as a plastic.
Either an ocular surgeon or a plastic surgeon, but nothing else. Like, there's, because there's general surgeons doing them, and there's no way in hell I would go to.
Yes, because people need to understand that actually, if you take 1 millimeter too much of skin, either over or under, you can never. Like, not ever, but generally, that what can happen, people can't close their eyes.
Well, there's a
forever. Like, even when you're asleep.
One of my friend's moms, she got it done, and there was just too much. Just at the edge. Mm. So at the corner of the edge, it's always open. So she has this piercing brightness through, and also she gets dry socket, dry eye all the time.
Yeah.
Ouch. And
there's nothing
you
can do.
She looks weird. Like, when she closes her eye, there's just a weird bit. So, I mean, again, like, such a brilliant treatment, but like, do it well.
Do it well. Make sure the surgeon does these day in, day out. A
couple of good places in Ireland.
A couple of good places
in Ireland. Juana Can in the Ioneer.
Yeah, but you won't get into her. You won't get in. Like, you're on a 3-year waiting list at this point.
I think it'd be worth the wait, though.
Janet down in Waterford.
Maeve in, what's her name? Maeve.
Oh, we're just rattling off names. If anyone wants to know, drop us a DM and drop us
Wellington Eye Clinic.
Yeah, exactly. There's a good few places doing them, and they do them well here. So it is a very viable option, and I'm mad to get it done. So joining us from Cork, we have the fantastic Dr. Dearon O'Leary, who Nikki introduced earlier. I have a question, Dearon, and
we were literally talking about this in the car. We were like, what do we want to know from Dearon?
I was like, this is what I want to know. How the hell do you not look like a dog's dinner? Like, how do you pull it together to look so groomed, so glam, like you're about to go onto the Miss Universe stage every day?
Every day?
You have two kids under three.
No, I don't. I look like a dog's dinner like 99.9999% of the time. And I just try to make myself look like less like a dog's dinner when I'm, you know, doing something like this or recording a video for Instagram. But like, most of the time, my hair is up in a bun. I'm wearing, you know, sweats. I look ridiculous. I am like a dog's dinner. And then I feel like a, you know, patchwork when I'm put together like this. Like, you know, I've like tan just on the hands, you know, and like my makeup and all of that. But no, I look like this for about an hour. And as soon as we're done here, I'm back to dog's dinner mode.
How do you convert so quickly?
Yeah, how do you pull this off?
Like, how long does it take you to get into?
Are you low maintenance? Are you high maintenance to be low maintenance? Like, do you do stuff in the background to be low maintenance during the day? How do you look like that?
No, I suppose, you know, like day to day, like, I mean, I do like to try to, I try to do my bits and pieces so that I have like, you know, my skincare routine and like trying, I'm working hard on my hair journey. Okay,
we need to talk about the hair. The hair is insane.
Like, well, no, my hair is extensions, right?
Yes.
But I really bleached it really, really, really badly for so many years. But now I'm just trying to like grow it out and eventually like have less and less extensions. But I do my day-to-day things to try to try to keep my hair and skin healthy, like, you know, and it sounds so boring, but it's true. And it does make a difference, like just, you know, wearing your sunscreen every day. Like I do my sunscreen every single day, wear my vitamin or put on my vitamin C serum in the morning. I take my supplements and like it's every morning I do those bits and they make different, you know, they do make a difference over time. And then just even like small bits for the hair.
What are you doing for the hair? Because the hair is outrageous. We love
like the masterpiece.
Well, so I have hair extensions, but I am working on my own hair, like my own actual hair as well, by avoiding. I got a water filter recently. I thought of the water
is
in
it
our
Hello
head.
Clean. Did you get nabbed on Instagram like Liz and I?
I got Hello Clean. However, it reduced the water power in my shower, so
yes.
I couldn't use it. It was really annoying. So I got another one from an Irish company. Oh my God, what are they called? I can't remember. I'm so sorry.
We'll figure it out.
Oh my gosh.
Does it work?
I got one from an Irish company and I think that's helped as well. And then I just do no heat. So on the days where I just want to look like a dog's dinner, I just lean into that. No heat, no hair dryer, nothing. So I'll put heat on it maybe like once a week.
That's it.
Wow.
And in terms of like, are you putting in like scalp treatments? Are you doing anything?
Yes,
like,
yeah. I use scalp oil as well. And I have one from Pamela Morrissey from Sobey Brown and Cork.
Yeah.
Also, actually, so I use a red light helmet. I use
yes.
that. Have you seen those helmets?
Yeah, yes.
So I've been using that consistently for about 6 months as well to like just really help to recover my hair.
Yeah.
My hair was, I abused my hair so, so, so badly, you know, up until about 6 months ago.
Really?
Yeah. I had blonde, kind of, you know, the blonde dysmorphia thing. I really had that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was getting my highlights done like every 5 weeks, processing it and heat every day. And I was just, I abused it. I'm coming back from that now. And I love the red light helmet. That's really helping. And then I use a little derma roller as well to try to just get my hair like thicker and healthier here at the crown.
Do you think the derma,
temples.
If you're using, so you're kind of microneedling the crown, or not the crown, the temples kind of, is it?
Yeah.
And are you putting
yes.
any
exosomes or anything
serums
else?
Or anything on top, or just leaving it with microneedling?
Now, right. So definitely I'm something on my like to try list or to do list. Mm. Like if I wanted to, so it's just so hard to do office based procedures, you know, when
yeah.
you're mom and getting out.
Yeah.
So like if I could be in an office all the time, like I would be getting like, you know, something like PRP to my scalp or polynucleotides. Like I know they're all brilliant, but I just don't really have the time for that stuff at the moment.
So like, I mean, I've seen you online with no makeup on, and you've done like your skin is flawless, like flawless. In fact, I would go so far as to say that you look like a 16-year-old, like amazing.
Yeah, right. Though what I will say is right that I do like I choose my lighting. OK, like if I wanted to like choose more unflattering lighting, you know, I could be like, so that's one thing I will say, like I'll choose my best lighting. Like if you face one way versus the other way, like you'll see your pores versus not seeing your pores, you know, and
at least you're owning that and saying like, look, it's all a bit filtered. Life is a bit filtered.
You know, well, it's not that, I mean, it's just that if you watch that, you'll have good pictures and bad pictures. And I choose to upload the best versions of what I record, you know, so like obviously there. And if I'm having like a desperately bad skin day, I'm not going to turn up without makeup that day.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at the moment. And I know when I see other, you know, content creators or influencers or, you know, other people online and I've seen videos saying, guys, this is my skin when I face this way and this is my skin when I face this way, and it's totally different.
Yeah.
I don't have the confidence to quite do that yet, but like, I choose the best version of what I see in front of me and if I'm having a bad skin day, I'm not going to turn up with that bad
but
skin
irrelevant,
without makeup.
Irrelevant of skin texture, your features, you do look ridiculously young, right?
Yeah.
Like to a lay person who doesn't know you, who just caught you off like passed you on Instagram, they'd probably be like, oh, she's some 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Like literally, how do you look so young? Like what are you doing?
Well, give us
talk
your secrets. That's actually what I want to know.
Yeah,
like, are you living in a bath of Botox?
Yeah.
And sleeping in oxygen chambers at night? Go on. What are you doing?
Right, so I wrote my little list, right?
Yes.
Because I wanted to remember all my bits. So like, okay. I get Botox.
Yes,
you know,
all over.
So for the but I surprise. I mean, I think obviously I get Botox.
Do you get it everywhere, or where do you get it? The whole like neck, chin, jaw, everything, or just upper?
Now the girl that I go to, and I've been going to her for years.
Yes.
I go into her and we just chit chat about life, and she just works away. And I know I get on my forehead the crow's feet,
yeah,
and the glabella area,
yeah. And what about like, do you ever do lips or like jawline or neck or anything?
No, I have with my dentist done the masseter for the jaw claudication thing.
Yeah,
I haven't done that in a while though. I did my chin once
for the dimpling, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't like it.
Really?
I felt, it just didn't suit for me.
Okay.
Did it make
and
your
I
mouth make
again.
A funny shape?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Who do you want to name drop your Botox doc?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. She's wonderful. However, I do just want to kind of go and get my Botox in peace.
Yeah.
In relative peace.
And I often find when you name drop people, then they get so busy they can't see you. And you're like, well,
that
I fired.
You know, this girl is actually already so busy. She's excellent. And you know what? I'm pretty sure everyone knows when I go in there anyway. But I kind of just want to go in there in peace. But
yes.
And do you get anything else done? Does she?
What else do you do?
Come on, give us your list.
I don't get anything else. Like in terms of injectables, I don't do anything else. Like
okay.
I've never had filler.
Never.
And I haven't done like anything. Oh no, I've done Profhilo.
Yeah. Do you like it?
I do, but I just think that like for the amount, it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For what you get out of it, it's just not something that I'm running getting back to. Like I think I've had it twice.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, it's nice. But it's expensive and it's not something that is like a must have for me.
We call it the diamond necklace. We're like, you have to get the Spanx and the good dress and the good shoes. And then if you can afford it, you can throw on the diamond necklace.
Totally. And like if I was getting married, I'd get Profhilo for my wedding day. But after that, I mean, it's obviously gorgeous, but it's just not something that I would be doing again and again.
Okay.
What else? Lasers?
What about lasers?
Laser, yeah, I love laser. I get IPL a lot. So I go to, I will name drop this person because she is excellent. So I go to Leslie Barrett in the Skin Clinic in Cork. I've been going to Leslie for like over 10 years.
Okay.
And she does IPL for me. So yeah, I get laser.
Have you done any other lasers like for melasma or rosacea or any of that kind of stuff?
No, like I know Fraxel is meant to be amazing. And again, that's something that I would love to do and is meant to be excellent. But I just, you know, I go to Leslie, I trust Leslie. Leslie's excellent. I go in, I lie down and we just chat about life and she does laser. And I love that. So
do you just get classic IPL or do you BBL or are you mixing it with a peel or anything like that?
It's the old school IPL. Now, I know there is the BBL and I know there is Fraxel and I know IPL is probably maybe one of the most basic, but, you know, I kind of like it and it works for me and I love Leslie.
Yeah, it's tried and tested.
What else are you doing? Are those eyelashes real?
They are. I can't stand. I got
the extensions.
Eyelash extensions once in my life and I pulled them off that night. I was like, get these off.
Yeah, I agree. I
couldn't stick them.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't live without them. I look dead without them.
Yeah. Nikki, in the way in the car, she was like, if I don't get my eyelash extensions in the next week, she's like, I look like a fetus.
I do. I just look like this little. I have blonde, furry eyelashes. They don't exist.
I can't cope with them either. I don't like the feeling of them on me.
I could, you know, I wish I could like tolerate them, but I love like the feeling of just like the, I don't know, just completely naked, clean face at nighttime.
Yeah, yeah.
And I took them all off that night. I had paid like 200 quid or something mad.
Oh God. And what about
and
peels? Have you ever done any chemical peels or any of those kind of acid peels?
I I think when I go to Leslie at the skin clinic, she does appeal. But again, I just trust her so much. I don't really talk to her about what she's doing. But I think there is appeal is a part of that.
Yes. And actually, that's a really good kind of combo treatment to have, because if you kind of get a gentle peel just before your IPL you know, that technically the laser then is working on the freshest layers of skin, not dead layers of skin, you know. And a lot of places don't offer that. But it's a really clever strategy, because it means you're getting the deepest and best out of your lasers, you know. Obviously you have to be careful, because the peel can't be too strong, because obviously you'll be triggering a reaction or whatever. But just to give it a good clear off the dead, you know, mush and the, you know, all the crap that gets built up there that cleansers don't take off, and mechanical exfoliation doesn't take off either. So it is a good little kind of, you know, precursor to an IPL session. That's one of my favorite treatments of all time, the peel IPL combo. Yeah, just simple, classic. It works. Yes.
And anything else on your repertoire, your daily, monthly, weekly repertoire?
Annually.
I do a lot of red light on my face as well. So I do it on the hair, and I do it on my face also.
Yeah. I see you have the current body mask. I see you wear, don't you? Yeah, me too.
Yeah, love living on it.
Yeah. And Nikki and me fight over the neck one in the office. She's like, give it to me. And I'm like, no, it's my turn.
It's not charged.
I'm so bad at neglecting my neck. I need to use the neck one way
more. I find
the
neck one's easy, because I can't read or do anything when I have the face one on. So I can only put the face one on when I'm having downtime, but I can tap away doing work with the neck one on without, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like so bad at like being like, I have to, like, I am going to do my emails now through this eye mask.
Me too.
No, I can't.
Do you know, I was doing laundry the other day with it on, right? And I was doing the laundry, put it on. I was like, I can do the laundry. This is like, you know, brain dead task. And when I took the eye mask off, I had matched all the socks wrong colour, because it makes you completely colourblind.
It's so weird. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. I feel it's because, you actually can't see green in particular, red and green. It's so weird.
Everything is black and white. And it's only when I took it off, I was like, that is crazy. Like, totally
that
changed your
color. That is so funny.
Can I ask, I suppose, a fairly deeply personal question? So you've had cancer, and you've been very, vocal about your cancer. Having kind of faced something quite serious and come through the other side of it, do you feel differently about your pursuit of beauty, or has it changed that at all, or do you value it more, or has it changed it in any way?
You know, weirdly, cancer did not, okay, but being a mom did.
Yeah, interesting.
And becoming a mother did. So, and I don't know what that's about, but before I was a mom, I was like, I had that blonde dysmorphia, and like my plan for my face and aesthetics was get everything. Like I was before that, I was like, get as much Botox as I can possibly get. I was like booked in for fillers, but I didn't go ahead with it, and get as much blonde hair dye as I could get or whatever. But I think I don't know why it changed, but like since becoming a mother, I'm a bit more like, okay, Darren, mind your skin, mind your hair, wear your sunscreen. Look, clearly I'm not saying I'm becoming a completely natural. That's not where I'm going with this at all. But it changed my kind of, I feel like I need to actually mind my body a little bit more, because, and mind my health a bit more, because I feel like I need to actually mind myself, because there's people
responsible for you, relying on you.
Exactly.
Yeah, to live.
I don't know, is that a bit of an extension of that? Because there was always a weird thing, like when I was in cancer follow-up, like, so, you know, you're typically you're checked every 6 months for 5 years. And I could never kind of see beyond that 5 years, whereas recently I was actually discharged as well from that follow-up.
Yay.
And I know, it was so great. Thank you. And it kind of, now it's like, okay, so I actually now have to play the long game, whereas before I was always just playing like the 5-year game, you know? just all of that. I kind of it did change slightly. Now with that, it did change my view of aesthetics and beauty and how I treat my hair and skin. It is slightly different.
Do you think it's more simple than that? It's just a case of you do not have the time to be, you know, faffing about yourself anymore, and it's, you know, that part of you needs to go into a box basically for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, even though, like, I do think there's something more to it than that. Okay. There's something more to it than that. I just feel like I need, it's some bit, a part of it is that I need to just, like, respect my own health and body a bit more, because I need to be here for my children.
Yeah. When we actually did an episode last season on treatments
actually, or beauty treatments.
Have during chemotherapy, or when you were having, you know, if you were under diagnosis, post-pre, you know, the whole cancer journey, like beauty treatments, because a lot of people have said to us, you know, you can't get certain treatments. A lot of clinics and spas won't go near you. You're automatically like, there's this big...
You're on the blacklist of, you're on no, blacklist. We're not going to give you anything because
they're
scared.
Frightened, you know. Did you encounter any of that? Or
I did. What was it? I went to Leslie.
Yeah.
I went into Leslie and I was like, Leslie, listen to this. Like, I've been diagnosed with cancer. And she's like, dear, look, I need you to run this by your treating consultant, because she was like, look, I don't want to interfere with anything here. So I did. I had to run it. I called the cancer specialist nurse and she ran it by the consultant. Like, was I allowed to do that? Whilst kind of
having
undergoing treatment.
And did they let you?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it a laser or something? Because it's often
funny.
It's often light interacts with
chemo.
Lasers interact with chemo, and your skin can be photosensitive and all sorts of things.
You're very sensitive. Did you have really sensitive skin, or what did you notice when you were having treatment?
I didn't have chemotherapy, so I just had surgery. So I was lucky that I didn't need chemotherapy.
Okay.
So I was able to keep up with my laser. I was under general anesthetic like 3 times in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Gosh. And my hairdresser said he noticed a huge change. So I suppose all of that, you know, physical stress can cause, you know, that type of hair loss, telogen effluvium.
Yeah.
So I think I possibly had a bit of that as well. And my hair thinned a bit. So and he said that he noticed a difference in my hair that summer.
Okay, because actually some of the oncologists we spoke with last year were very like, oh my God, I can't believe people would even consider me, you know,
Botox
or laser. You know, they're like, you know, you're on this journey and you need to heal. And why would women, or there could be men as well, but generally there were women. Why would women think that they would even think about Botox during this time? And you're like, well, actually, like, it's a crutch for us in a way, you know, and
it's
armor.
It's our, you know.
Yeah,
and it's feeling yourself. I mean, these things become our routine. Like they're like, you know, our routine of like going in for your dental checkup. Like it's a part of like kind of my, you know.
I love that you said dental checkup, not hairdresser. I was like,
but it's you know, I mean, in some ways, no. Like Botox is not the same as hairdresser. I've gone to the hairdresser because look, it's a medical intervention. However, these are just a part of our routines.
Yes.
Like I went into Leslie that time because that's just a normal part of what I do.
Yeah.
You know, or going for Botox is a normal part of what a lot of women do. So you're still allowed to be yourself. And you still are yourself.
Yes.
You know, you don't completely change when you're going through that. I do think, though, that my consultant thought it was funny that I got the impression he kind of thought it was a bit funny that I was still kind of being like, can I get my laser for my skin?
Yeah, because that's important right now when you're in your life-saving mode. But I it is important. It's actually more like, what's the name of that cancer, the cancer charity that we worked with a couple of years ago? Look Good, Feel Good?
Yes, Look Good, Feel Better. Yeah,
Or Feel Better, yeah. And their whole premise is that, you know, like whether it's doing your eyebrows or getting your hair or getting your whatever it is to look good and feel good, then you'll behave better. And it all like feeds into the
It's your psychological armor. Yeah, it's armor, like in a way. Beauty has always been an armor in its own way, you know.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, look, anyone, I mean, will, I mean, you know, like hair loss or hair changes or hair thinning, nobody is just going to be like, oh, well, whatever, what I look like is completely, you know, I mean, what you know, feeding yourself, I suppose, is what it is what it's most about, you know. So you don't just kind of because you've had a cancer diagnosis or any illness.
Yes.
You don't just wake up being like, okay, well, forget all of that. Forget all that stuff that I used to do, you know.
Yeah.
Although that sometimes happens when you have children. It's like, forget all that.
I want to know about your teeth.
Oh, yes.
Your lovely, beautiful white teeth. Yeah. And now, how are your teeth? So here's, how are you so lovely? How are you such a lovely girl?
Lovely girl.
Why are your teeth so fabulous? Have they always been like that? Or have you had braces, bonding, veneers? What's the
My teeth. Yeah. No, those are just my teeth. But I used to hate my teeth for years because they're quite big, you know?
All right. No, they're not quite big. They're lovely.
It used to make me very self-conscious. But actually, just talking of beauty, I had a fear of like the dentist for years. I had to have a root canal. I think I was like second or third year in college.
Yeah.
I had a root canal. It was a nightmare. It failed. It was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually didn't go to the dentist for about 10 or 15 years after that.
Okay.
Until I eventually went to, it was Halley Dental Care in Cork, and they're excellent. So I went to Charlie Halley, and he kind of took away my dental phobia. I think they have like a specific interest in that. And I was just talking to him as well about like other things, about like I was like, talking to him about like Botox and filler and all that, because they were doing that in that clinic as well. And he said, well, during the most important thing, he was like, if you have Botox and fillers and hair and all the rest of it, but he was like, one of the most important things is having a healthy set of teeth and a bright smile.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I did then the teeth whitening trays with Dr. Halley, that dentist. So he did that tray for me, and then I do the whitening. But I do whitening that's, you know, kind of
at home,
dentist recommended and kind of overseen, you know.
Yes, yeah, okay. And what about you? Have you any veneers or anything? Are they all your lovely natural teeth?
They're mine, yeah.
Wow, God. And did you have braces as a teenager or anything? No.
No, I didn't.
You're just naturally blessed
with
it,
lads. At the end of the day, basically, Darren has the genetic jackpot.
Yeah, genetic jackpot. Thank you.
No.
Not jealous.
I got made fun of about my teeth when I was younger because they were really big.
Really?
God, you look fine.
So now your face has grown into your teeth. It's true, though, you know, because your face drops and it does drop around your mouth.
Yeah.
So in your instance, it's looking better. And what about, have you ever done anything like in your beauty escapades over the years, or wellness, not just beauty, wellness, health, that you've kind of found yourself in the middle of whatever it is, a treatment, a procedure, a hell and back or something, going, what am I doing?
I'm
actually glad you brought it up. You know what it was? And I was like, I actually, because I get a lot of anxiety as well about these interventions. You know, I'm not the type of person that would be like, oh, I've got some swelling today. That's okay. That'll go down. Like, I'll get nervous and like lose sleep about it.
Yeah.
But I love microneedling. Okay.
Yeah.
Love it. It's brilliant. And the skin pen is great for that. I love the skin pen for microneedling.
Yes.
However, I got like the really aggressive, like mad, crazy vampire facial, like so it was PRP. So they took like 4 vials of blood from me, took the plasma, then injected it all through my face. So it was like, it wasn't microneedling. It was like injection. Then there was blood all over my face. Then they rubbed the blood into my face. I came home. I was washing blood out of my hair. And I was like, what on earth? What am I doing?
Yeah.
I finally did it.
I've finally gone too far.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm washing blood out of my hair. My face was so swollen. My husband was laughing at me. I was like, please stop laughing. It was really bad. So that was one of those moments where I was just like,
enough.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say, right, is yes, the results were gorgeous and the skin was really nice. But would I do it again? No, I just really don't want to wash blood out of my hair ever again. Honestly, I really don't.
Unless it's necessary.
And what about, like, so obviously your business is obviously supplements as well. So you spent a lot of time researching and spent a lot of energy and, you know, education into educating the masses about supplements. Like, obviously there's the naysayers who say supplements are a total swizz, they're fancy urine, and there's the other kind of cohort who are like, I mean, it's
Especially for collagen supplements.
Collagen, yeah, yeah, yeah. Collagen,
I actually quite like it. I divide the masses. Like half of people say, yeah, all for it. The other people say it makes absolutely no difference.
Liz laughing at me the other day, mixing my collagen.
She was mixing your collagen supplements with Solpadeine. Yeah. And NAD injections. I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, this is my new hangover cure. Yeah.
How did you gonna do? I love that.
Yeah. It was actually delicious. Yeah. I actually think your marine collagen supplement is the only one that actually tastes nice. Like some of them are very gritty and
yucky.
Yeah, and yours is nice. It's also nice with gin as well as Solpadeine. Just
this, and my retirement plan, if you want to get together and make a business with me, is collagen wine.
Collagen wine.
I mean, there has to be a market for collagen wine, right?
Write that down.
Yeah, exactly. Wine with collagen. It can't be that hard. Right?
And I also like the fact that some of your supplements, I know not all of them, but some of them are sublingual, so they're sprays.
Yes, the vitamin B12 spray. Mm. So that has to be sublingual, really, because we don't absorb vitamin B12 very well from our stomach. So that's why that's sublingual. And then the vitamin D spray as well, if you don't like swallowing loads of tablets. And, vitamin D is really important in pregnancy as well. And some women get a lot of nausea, don't like swallowing tablets in pregnancy. So the vitamin D spray is there as well. So those are handy.
I find supplements, what puts me off supplements is not the swallowing, it's the sequence in which I'm supposed to take them, right? So that does my head in. I'm like, because I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I just go have a cup of tea. And then I go, oh, I was supposed to take my Simproof and then I forgot to take that. I should have waited 10 minutes. And then I'm taking like whatever it is on top of it. I'm like, oh, you can't be taking, your Amigas on top of your thing. And then I just go, this is so complicated, I'm not going to bother. So I'd much rather something I could spray or inject.
Kind of alternate things.
Yeah, I'm like, if I can just jab it into me or spray it onto me, I'm happy days. But it's to do with swallowing, it's not because I don't like the swallowing. It's just the sequence of doing things. And then it makes you sick. And then if you have a coffee, you ruin it and whatnot. So it's just.
Do you ruin? That's a question I want to ask because you said this the other day and I didn't know that's true. So if I take my supplements in the morning and then I have a cup of tea afterwards, do I ruin them?
I mean, what I always say to everyone is, right,
wait.
The best way to take your supplements is take them at a time when it's going to suit you and when you're going to actually take them, because your supplements aren't going to be effective if you don't take them. Mm. So, for me, right, the only way I'm going to take my supplements is if I take them first thing in the morning, like immediately, just like after or before brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just have to do it. And even some days I'm like, I'm rushing. And I'm like, okay, dear, you can give it a break today and do it later on. But I know I won't. Mm. So, I think that you might get tiny variances of absorption, whether or not you take it on an empty stomach or with tea. But those differences are going to be largely negligible.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So I would say just take them in a way that suits you. Okay. I think most people would need possibly with food to avoid nausea, but take them in a way that suits you, because people say to me, Darren, do I need to take, not in terms of supplements, but statins, medication that, there used to be advice to take those at night. And people forget, so they weren't taking them, So you're better off just taking the morning, Whenever suits your lifestyle, just take it and do it,
Just get on with it. Okay, fair enough. Now, Ed is telling us we're going to have to wrap up. I have a question before we get thrown off. Body treatments. Have you ever done any body treatments?
Oh, like what now?
Like whether it's like BTL, M-Sculpt, butt lifting, vagina tightening, anything below the neck kind of thing. No, she's laughing.
I haven't.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Because there's what I suppose, like I do, I have cellulite and I have stretch marks, right? Yes. But I mean, even when I'm in a bikini in Portugal, I really kind of don't care. Nobody knows me. It's not something, I mean, am I self-conscious? I don't know am I self-conscious about it, but am I going to do something about it? I'm really not going to bother. But that's just me. I understand some people might want to.
Yes.
But no, I've never done anything on the body so far.
Okay. And what about wish list for the future? Have you anything on the wish list for the future?
I want to try that in my phone. So things that let me see, polynucleotides.
Yes. Okay.
Definitely.
So that's regenerative injections for the listeners who don't know what they are yet.
Yes. And exosomes. Yeah. So Definitely, that's something that I would like to try. Okay. And I think, yeah, that's like, because I made a list here of everything that I wanted to.
What about surgery?
Would you do surgery?
Would you ever go to have a facelift in the future?
Especially given that you're a doctor. I mean, what do you think about doing elective
surgery? Yeah, cosmetic surgery. Yeah, like I have. I've given that strong consideration, like, would I do it? But it's, you know, that anxiety piece. I'm very, like, you know, when people first get their lips done and they're really kind of swollen and exaggerated and they're like, oh, but that's grand because it'll go down by next week.
Yeah,
I don't have the personality type. I'll get so anxious and I won't be able to stop inspecting in the mirror and, you know, all of that. So I think that I've thought about it, like, would I ever do a facelift, you know, when the time comes? And I'm too anxious for it, so I won't. So my policy as time has gone on has been just look in the mirror less because, like, it's
best
because the more...
That's actually the best advice ever.
You know, but it's a little bit of a joke, but there's a truth in it for me as well. And, you know, to stop inspecting, because as well, something that used to drive me crazy was that I used to do all my Instagram videos talking directly to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I inspected my face and I inspected my hair and I inspected my skin. So something that I actually deliberately try, and you'll see a big change actually. It's if you scroll back about like 2 years, if you're absolutely, you know, I'm sure nobody's going to do it. But it was my face all the time to camera. And I was like, I'm so exhausted by just examining my face and critiquing my face. So I was like, step back. Mm-hmm. So I just step way back now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try to look in the mirror less and I just try to just be like, you know, I'm grateful for my health and just trying to step back from it a little bit. But with that said, of course, like I enjoy aesthetics and all of that as well, but I do try to just look in the mirror less sometimes.
Okay, and have you any questions for us before we wrap up? You don't have to, but if you want to.
I don't have a question, but what I will say is I think your relationship as sisters and the way you get to work like this is just so gorgeous. And I think you're really fab.
Oh, thanks very much. We think you're fab
too. Thank you so much.
And on that note, we have to sign out. So thank you so much. If anyone is not following Dearen, we can find you on Instagram, Dr. Dearen, and your supplements. I have a separate page, don't they, as well?
Supplements Made Simple. Sorry, here's my plug for my collagen.
Yeah, you're pink.
Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't have any collagen here. I have a cup of tea, which is probably bad for my collagen. But anyway.
All right, sure.
Well, cheers to that. Listen, have a great day. And thank you so much for your time.
Okay, bye, girls. Thank you.
Bye. And here we are with the loose lips section of our podcast where we bring on the listeners' WhatsApp voice memos and DMs. So Ed, hit us up. We've loads in this week. So
here we go.
I don't know what we're going to get.
Hi guys, adore today's podcast. I'm not a big podcast person, but absolutely love. Quick question for somebody that has suffered with, I suppose, very mild acne. Wouldn't have had it during pregnancies, breastfeeding. Constant having a spot on my face, just gone, another one appears, so always some bit of redness and slight rosacea on the cheeks. I see that the Bonsecours Hospital have, it's called Venus Verset trademark. It's a mix of IPL and Smart Pulse technology. The reviews seem fairly good. It's twice a week, I think, for up to 8 weeks. Fairly pricey. Wonder if it's worth investing in. Would have had IPL in the past, but this is different with the blue light and everything. Love to know your feedback on that. And how does that work if you're getting Botox? I know you said about other radio frequency and other things. Is that something IPL that you should be getting at the end of your Botox? Love to know your answers.
Okay, I'm happy to dive in on this one. So first and foremost, no, it doesn't interfere with your Botox. Laser treatments don't really interfere with Botox. They interfere with fillers, but not Botox. So knock on ahead. Secondly, you should probably get a proper diagnosis as to why you're getting spots at this age in your life. So it can be a number of things.
Did she say after breastfeeding?
Botox, I thought.
No, she said, does it interfere with your Botox? But I thought she said that she had intermittently gotten it after having a baby and breastfeeding and la la la. But like, I mean, there's a number of reasons why we get acne breakouts. Skincare, like number one thing you could, a quick, hormonal, easy fix. Hormonal, like, are you getting it every time you get your period? Infected pores.
That could, it could be rosacea as well.
Could be rosacea. It sounds to me like it's a bit rosacea. Could be infected pores, which, I mean, like, that's a really common thing where you just take an antibiotic and, like, do you ever get the same spot in the same place?
Yeah.
Month in, month out, month in, month out.
Yes.
Well, so what that is, it's not that you're getting the same spot in the same place. It's actually that you've got an infected.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not a dermatologist, so I shouldn't be like spouting this off. But
that happened to me and I kept coming back on my chin. Same thing.
Over and over. Yeah. And you have to, the only way to get rid of it is to clear in the infection.
Yeah, so I took, I think I was prescribed by a dermatologist, tetralysin.
Tetralysin, that's the one.
Which is a, it's a very strong antibiotic. Oh, just 3 or 4 weeks of it. My God, my skin was incredible.
And you got the worst thrush of your life.
The worst thrush of my life has obviously killed every bit of bacteria in my body, but it got rid of the spots and I've never...
And they never come back.
I've never had it back since.
Yes. Yeah. So I think they are important first measures to consider.
Okay.
And skincare, then hormones and antibiotics for infection.
Yeah. Lasers then, for acne are generally... Lasers are generally for acne scarring.
No, no, no. There's amazing new lasers out in the market.
AviClear.
There's AviClear. There's Clear Skin.
Yeah.
There's Clear Smooth. There's loads of different lasers.
And they
out.
Target the sebaceous gland, which is actually, like, a lot of the lasers have different... They have different
modalities.
They have different depths as to where they go, right? So certain lasers are going down to your collagen, which are deeper. Certain lasers are going on your surface. Certain lasers are going into the hair follicle, which is where the oil glands are, which is what causes the spots and bacteria. So it's wherever the wavelength is directed.
And then certain lasers, like the ones for rosacea, will target color, capillaries, pigment, and blah 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 blah.
So Venus,
so the Venus Versa is actually a very good laser,
but not necessarily for acne.
Well, it's good for if you've got rosacea-related acne.
Well, this is why she needs a diagnosis.
Yeah.
So like, we can't really diagnose unless we say...
Yes. Well, because we're not fucking qualified to do so. So that would probably be the most important reason why we're not going to give her a diagnosis on a radio show.
Yeah. Go to a derm or go to a skin clinic which has...
Specialist knowledge.
Doctors, yeah.
And then work backwards. So then look at your skincare, then look at your hormones, then look at the antibiotic, and then... All else fails, I'd be going down the laser route.
Yes, but that would be the last protocol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Voice note number two.
Hello, Ian from Sydney here.
Hey.
Love your podcast. Brings me home every time I listen to the two of you and the banter. And I love the honesty. That's the main thing I listen for, is the real truth. The things that work, the things that don't, the things to spend money on, the things to not bother with. My quick question for you is around teeth. As I get older, I notice teeth move around. I've done the whole Invisalign. I've done braces back in the day. And one lone rogue tooth just will not fall in line. What are our other options as we get older with keeping our teeth together? Keeping them nice and white too.
Okay, I'll take this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she, firstly, yay, we have a listener in Australia.
G'day, mate. So cliched. Sorry about that.
Second of all. So she's obviously, she's done the Invisalign, you've done the braces. I think in this instance, what might be worthwhile is going to the dentist, the orthodontist or whatever, your dental clinic, and actually asking about filing down that snaggle tooth that she's talking about. So you have one tooth that won't get in line. Perhaps a little bit of filing, right, of the said tooth, and then bonding on either side of that tooth to kind of make the bridge more uniform, effectively, rather than, or you could also look about actually kind of getting it filed down completely and getting a veneer put on it to make it more uniform with all the rest of the smile.
Yeah, it's just one tooth, and that, so yeah.
You don't need, not that we don't.
And actually, filing down a bit of bonding could be like a €60 job. It could be, you know, or in Australia, $60.
$60.
And your dollars, nothing's fucking $60 in Australia.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, quick and easy fix.
And what about whitening?
100% the trays. Always do the trays. Yeah. Don't do the strips. Strips wreck your gums, especially as we get older.
Do you think?
Absolutely, 100% wreck your gums. Wreck them.
Okay.
And
you get the bleach from your dentist.
It's a tray, is £100.
Yeah.
And you use it for like 10 years.
Yes.
And then you get the reusable bleach, 2 or 3 vials a year at like, you know, £20 a pop. Like, it's no brainer. It's safe. It protects your gums, it protects your teeth. And I mean, job done.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Next question.
Hi, girls. Ali in County Meath here. Loving your pods. I do a lot of long car journeys and get great crack out of listening to the pair of you. Love the dynamic and the honesty of both of you. My question is that most people that I've gone to for Botox won't do below the eyes. Wow. They'll only do it in a few places. So I'm now considering Morpheus. What's your thoughts? I'm 45. And it's also been suggested to perhaps get old therapy instead, which I'm not really leaning towards. Anyway, looking forward to hearing your response. Love the pod.
Ooh. Yes. There's a few things to say about this. So,
both of us are jumping at the bit.
We're both like, we need to be a little bit careful about what we say. So, we hear this a good bit about the my doctor won't do the Botox below the eyes. There's normally two reasons for this. Three.
One, it's off-label.
So, the number one, yes, it's off-label, which means the licensed label use for Botox in Ireland.
Or neurotoxins in general.
Neurotoxins in aesthetic medicine is for very specific areas, i.e. the three areas around your forehead and eyes. So that is the licensed use for it. So people pay insurance for the licensed use. If you want to use Botox in off-licensed uses, like in your lower face, mouth, la 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 la, you must pay for the insurance to do so. And you must also do training in which to do so. So,
and a lot of the brands don't offer training in below
the eyes. So it's normally one of two reasons, i.e. they don't have the training because their provider that they're getting their neurotoxin from doesn't provide it for them, or they haven't done it themselves or invested in themselves, or B, they don't have the insurance. So it's normally one or the other. C, which is a third reason, is often clinics don't know how to charge for Botox outside of doing it in the normal areas. And the normal patient or the average patient wants to know how much they're spending when they walk in the door. So they want to know they're spending €200 or €300. So the only way that they can charge is by doing this whole, you know, one, two, three, four areas or whatever.
It's a business model.
So it's a business model as opposed to your face.
Okay.
And the only other reason, which is very unusual, is that it genuinely wouldn't suit you. But I mean, I'd say that's like, if you're over 35, that's pretty much nobody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people, firstly, you're saying it's only licensed for
above the eyes, basically.
But that's in aesthetics. I mean, Botox has a thousand different licenses, a thousand different uses for all over the world.
We're just talking about in aesthetic medicine,
People might think, oh, maybe it's not safe to use in the lower face. It's absolutely safe if they know what they're doing, obviously, and they know the right muscles to hit. And it's so effective. Like, oh my God.
Just use it in babies with squint and people with paralysis and Bell's palsy and all sorts of things.
They're calling it it's the wonder drug of our generation until Ozempic. But in terms of, my first instinct is just go to a different clinic.
Yeah. Go to a different doctor.
Just go to a different doctor.
If you want it and you need it, go to a different doctor. And also, sorry, getting Morpheus as an alternative.
It's not an alternative.
No. It's like saying, I really want an apple and there's no apple, so I'm going to go and get a banana. Like, they're totally different things. So,
I'd say a hamburger, but you're like a banana.
Yeah, okay, well, you know what I mean. But but back to the Morpheus. Morpheus is amazing. And for a lower, what people like use Morpheus for is to tighten your skin and tighten your kind of whole lower face. It does a good job of doing that, and it does kind of shrink up the skin a bit. Old therapy is another device that uses heat to basically contour. Yeah, it is very painful, I think. My personal opinion of old therapy is that it suits very few people. Now, you are a prime example of the person it doesn't suit.
No.
Because it has melted your fat along with your
personality.
Well, Jesus. That ship sailed a while ago.
No, in all seriousness.
No,
I had old therapy about 10 years ago when it was too early to be having it. I shouldn't have had it. And it did do damage. Well, obviously, they're not
going to. Damage isn't the right word. I think you have a thin face, and when you lose weight.
But it melted my fat pads on my neck. And I'm constantly chasing my neck now, trying to put a bit of fat back in there. But look, saying that, like Dr. Jane Mulrooney, like, swears by it, and her jawline is snatched into oblivion. Yeah. So, I mean,
I've had it a few times.
You like it? Yeah.
No, I'm kind of on the fence about it.
Any day, I would rather lower face Botox. Yes. A lower jawline, face, neck Botox. The whole,
I think you need to be doing a good whack of it to see a result. Yeah. And it's spicy. Like, it's spicy on the pocket.
Tox or?
No, the old therapy is like, it's $2,000 or something for your lower face.
Yeah, but like, so will lower face Botox will add up pretty quickly as well if you're getting
it. Yeah, I think I'd hands down, day in, day out, yes, I would do the lower face Botox.
Yeah. So I would just say find another doctor, drop us a DM. Oh, well, you've already dropped us a DM.
Yeah.
But I will send you some options there on, you said you're in County Meath, so we'll send you some options of doctors who do it. And that is going to be a wrap for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed us and Dr. Dearen. And as always, thank you so much for all the voice memos coming in. We're kind of blown away with the amount that are coming in now.
And thanks so much to our sponsor, Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
And if you want to get in touch, our WhatsApp number is on our bio in our socials, or you can drop us a DM as well.
With Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.